Good morning, everybody. Welcome back here on your Monday. Still partly cloudy here, a little rainy looking like. Had a little rain overnight, about eighth of an inch, I think, right around here. Not going to break the drought, that's for sure. We are up to 66 degrees this morning under partly cloudy skies. High today should reach about 87 degrees, and more we can handle that. And low is going to be about 62. Well, Dr. Ben Edwards is in the house. We had a little rainbow stew there for you in Merle Harry this morning.
Thank you, Jim.
Good doctor. How are you, sir?
I always know when you're in studio instead of Wade. Get the good old music going.
Well, good. As long as you like it, I love it, because I'm country, no doubt. I think we'll have a great guest on the line for you this morning.
We do. I'm super excited to have Jolene McCord joining us today. And we are going to talk Peace Pillar. I get asked all the time, Doc, tell me more about this Peace Pillar. I know it's important. How do I do it? Give me the details. Kind of want a step one, two, three sometimes, human nature. Give me a checklist. It's clear if you've been a listener to this show for any amount of time, I think you're pretty well convinced now. It's not about our genes, and it's not about the germ. And I'm not saying those two aren't in play. They're in play, but they're secondary to the terrain. If we have a clean terrain, we keep the bad genes turned off, and we can deal with the bad germs pretty quickly in most instances. So what's the terrain? It's obviously nutrition, because we're body. We're housed in a physical body made of carbon, nitrogen, hydrogen, all these atoms, these physical components, and we need to steward those physical components and give our cells, our physical cells, the nutrients it needs and avoid the toxicity that will gunk up our mitochondria, our carburetor that makes energy. But we're not only a physical body. We're just housed in the body. We're actually spirit, and we have a soul. So we're a complex being. And it's this supernatural, outside the natural, outside the what you can touch and feel and look at under a microscope, that is the most impactful, the most powerful, the most important, the one that needs the most focus and attention and stewardship of, but also the most difficult, because we're tempted to just stay in the black and white physical world and just only focus on those three pillars: nutrition, hydration, and movement. So today we're going to dive more deeply into that Peace Pillar. And I'm not talking stress management. We've talked about that before. Temporarily speaking, you need to do some temporary relief with the pharmaceuticals, you know, rescue therapy, emergency therapy, stress management, I put into that category. But that's not the answer. The answer is deeper than that, in my opinion. And yes, we're going to talk about not religion. That's a whole nother conversation. I'm talking about who made you. Did anything make you? Is that anything that maybe did make you a personal being, a not personal being? We've talked about this before. If you're still in the place of not believing of anything outside the natural, you don't believe in the supernatural. Or if maybe you do believe in supernatural, but you don't know exactly what that means or who is it, what is it, and can you believe the Bible or not, I would encourage you to go to our Rumble channel, Veritas Medical, on Rumble. Go back to the beginning, and I put on a 10-part series of why I believe. And for me personally, it had to be more of a scientific approach, because I'm an intellectual kind of guy. One of the slides you'll see on one of those videos was from Michael Behe, PhD. He's a professor at Lehigh University, and this is a quote from him. As the number of unexplained, irreducible, complex biological systems increases, our confidence that Darwin's criterion of failure has been met skyrockets towards the maximum that science allows. Translation, Darwin himself said his theory would be debunked, would be toast, if a handful of things were found to be true. And these handful of things have been found to be true, and then some, as Behe explains. We've more than reached the criteria that Darwin set forth. So if you have trouble with that science and evolution, that whole question, go on there and watch those videos, and it'll give you a lot to ponder and consider. I'd also encourage you to go on our Telegram channel, Veritas Medical Telegram. This weekend I posted a video from YouTube, Ron Wyatt Discoveries. And this is a 2022 video, but it's a summary of all Ron Wyatt's discoveries over the past 30 or 40 years. What if just what if there was evidence and proof of Sodom and Gomorrah? What if that was discovered? What if the Red Sea crossing was discovered with chariot wheels from Egyptian chariots at the bottom of the Red Sea? What if Mount Sinai with a smoky black top was discovered? What if Noah's Ark was discovered? Just some what ifs. Go watch the video. I think it'll bolster your faith and your reliance on that, on the Word. And I'm not saying that man couldn't have somehow altered or tried to influence that written word, you know, change some words, change the translation to benefit their particular bias. But still, the creator of the entire universe, pretty sure he can get a book written if he needs to. So we can rely on that book, in my opinion. So enough of that. I want to get into it because we've got Jolene McCord here, and she's got quite the testimony and quite the ministry, and it's coming to Lubbock, Texas. We'll let her tell you all about that, July 20th through 24th. And I just found out about this late last week. Former patient, former employee stopped by the clinic and handed me this brochure, and I looked at it and thought, we've got to get Jolene on the show because we've got to tell people this is coming to Lubbock. So we've brought Jolene on today, and I had to bump our other guest, and I'm glad to do it because this is the most important topic of the hour. We're in a season right now. We don't have time for fluff. We don't have time to sugarcoat. We don't have time to for counterfeits, and we don't have time to just hang out in the physical only. We're a spirit housed in the flesh, and we have a soul. We need to address all three of those. So today, let's go, Jolene McCord. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Well, you're very
excited.
Very welcome. I'm excited to have you. And I just want to say, you know, quoting from Scripture, they overcame the dragon by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Once you can wrap your mind around that this is the word of God, the creator of you, me, the whole world, the whole universe, and then he gives a personal message through this word, and then a personal relationship through the Holy Spirit. He can actually speak through the Spirit to your spirit and direct you, and he loves you, and he cares for you, and he's going to protect you and provide for you, make a way for you. It's amazing. It is amazing. Now, getting over the doubt and unbelief, which is a demonic spirit, that doubt and unbelief will hinder you. And that's why I submitted to y'all to consider going and looking up those videos in case intellectualism, scientism, evolution, all that is a portal for doubt and unbelief. But we're going to jump ahead and say we do believe in that word. And what does that word say about health and healing, about peace, true peace? So, Jolene, I'm going to give you the floor. Feel free to just share with the listeners as much as you want, kind of about who you are, where you're at, what are you doing, and how you got from where you were to where you are.
Well, thank you. Thank you. This has been an amazing walk. As a child, I was very, very sick. I spent most of my first grade year in Texas Children's Hospital in Houston, where they removed my thyroid because I was so small, and they said I had a high thyroid and a low thyroid both at the same time. One half was doing one, and the other half was doing another, and it was just all my life. I was a very sick person, and in 1989 I was diagnosed with a disease called polymyalgia rheumatica, and the doctors at and I'm not even going to go there, but the physicians that I was going to overdosed me on some medications, which then gave me lymphoma cancer. And for years, I struggled back and forth. My whole life was scheduled around doctor's appointments. And one day, my husband and I were visiting a church, and the pastor made a statement that just resonated with me. And he said, "The battle for your life is between your ears. If you're sick, you need to think about what you're thinking about."
Amen.
And I sat there and I went, "Oh my word, what does he mean by that?" But it resonated with me. And so after church, and this was in 2002, 20 years ago, I remember looking at my husband and I said, they offered to sell their their preachings after church, and I said, "Can we stay? I want to get that CD. I said, because I never heard what he said after something he said that was really important." And so we did, and we listened to it in the car on the way home, and I took it with me the following week when we left on vacation, and I re-listened to that CD several times. And I remember telling my husband, I said, "I must have some really sick thinking if I'm so sick." And my husband said, "Well, what kind of sick thinking do you have?" I said, "I don't know, but I must be having some sick thinking." And on our vacation, and see, God came before me and set me up just to, in the right places at the right time. That pastor was not our pastor. We had just visited a church. I was raised Catholic and had never, ever thought about anything like this. And so on our vacation, we spent the night at a B&B, and a lady saw me limping into our room, and she said, "What's wrong with you?" She asked me what was wrong with me, and I told her, I said, "Oh, I'm just sick." And I said, "I have a disease that normally attacks people that are old, and I'm only 40. She told me, she said, "Maybe you need this book more than me." And she had just come back from a conference and purchased a book called A More Excellent Way by Dr. Henry Wright. And she said, "You ought to read this." So I took it back to our room, and my husband and I started reading it, and I was reading it out loud. And I had never read the Bible at this point in my life, and I just trusted that, you know, going to church on Sunday was good enough for an hour, and that I would know enough to get me, you know, to heaven, I guess. I don't really know what kind of a ignorant thinking I had at the time. But my husband sat there, and he had been raised in an evangelical church and with grandparents that were missionaries. And as I was reading it, he was sitting there and confirming everything that this pastor had written. And he said, "Yes, that's what the word says, but I never thought of it literally." And then a little bit later, I'd read something, and my husband would say, "Yeah, but I never applied the word of God like that literally." And so I told my husband, I said, "I need to read the Bible." I said, "If it's a literal," I said, "it kind of seems like it's a literal instruction book." So I started reading. After our trip, I started reading the Bible, and I read that book, A More Excellent Way. And I read it several times. And for Christmas in 2003, I told my husband, I said, "I think I want to go through this course that they have, that this pastor has." And I said, "It's called For Your Life." And I said, "I want to go through it and see." I said, "I want to know God the way this man does." And my husband said, "What do you mean you want to know God the way this man does?" I said, "Well, they say that people actually get healed of stuff when they go out there." And I said, "I don't even care about the healing. But man, this guy has a relationship with God like God is in the car with him." And I said, "I want to be able to look over in the passenger seat of my truck and think that God is interested enough in me that he would actually talk to me." And that was how my walk started and how I started reading the Word of God. And it was by, I got a hunger for the Word by the truth that I read in this book, A More Excellent Way. And so in February 2004, I went to Thomaston, Georgia, and I went through a class that they had. And when I left home, I had 14 diseases. And when I came home, I was healed of 12 of them. The other two diseases that I had, I really needed to learn how to, what we call, hold your thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. And I had to train myself to think the way that God wanted me to think. And that was the hard part. But it was the rewarding part too, because in that I found who God really is, and that we, like you said, we are a three-part being. In your introduction a little while ago, Dr. Ben, you said we are a three-part being, and yes, we are a body, yes. And I always tell people that's our mobile home, but we are a spirit, and we are a soul, and our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. But our spirit man, which is the one that we tend as Americans who have so much more than anywhere else in the world, we tend not to spend time on our spirit. And our spirit is where the peace is. Our spirit man is where, when we are walking and talking and we have that relationship with God, it doesn't matter what's going on all around us. I can be in the middle of a whole room and people are angry or talking bad or, gossiping. And I can just go and shut all the turmoil around me. I can shut it all out because my spirit man has become so strong and so active in me. And that our spirit and soul are housed in what I call our mobile home, which is our physical body. And that's the part that's getting sick. That's the part that gets sick, because when our spirit man isn't being fed and our soul, that's our mind, our will, and emotions, and that's what that preacher had said at the very first that started me on this journey. He said, the battle for your life is between your ears. That's your mind. And that's what you talk about. And I'm sitting there going, man, I'm sick. I was physically sick because my thoughts were so wrong. I had attacked myself so much in my life. And when I was 22 years old, I was victimized by a man who beat me and raped me. And he told me it was my fault during the attack. And those words stayed with me for over 20 years. Reliving what had happened to me when I was 22 years old, always questioning, what did I do wrong? What could I have done where that wouldn't have happened to me? It set me up in a place of not being able to trust. And if I can't trust myself, then I cannot trust other people. And if I can't trust myself and I couldn't trust other people, then I can't trust God. And that is when you are separated. When we are separated from God, separated from others, and separated from ourselves, there's turmoil within, and there is no peace. There is no peace. We can get false peace by practicing things like yoga. We can get a false peace by taking a drug, prescription or illegal drugs. We can get a false peace by putting ourselves to sleep. But that is not the peace that God intended for us to have when he created us. And when God created us, it says in his word that he breathed life into us. He placed us in our mother's womb. And if you go back to that moment, the moment that life was conceived, that was God's breath placed in us, and that is our spirit man. And when we go back to that place of our spirituality, and we know that we know. I always tell people, in my knower I know, that I can trust God, then I can trust God, and that peace totally comes within me. There's been times in my life when I, after I was healed of so much, I told God, I said, God, I promise I will share what you have done with me. I will not put a bushel basket over my life. I will share with people, but I need you to help me to see how people are living their lives. What causes them to think certain ways? Why are they sick? Who is doing this? And I've sat back and I've watched people being healed of migraines, from back issues, from diabetes. Just this past week, I had a woman that emailed me, and she had dry eye syndrome for 20 years and had to put drops in her eyes several times a day, and she was totally healed at one of my conferences. I've seen people being healed of depression that have been on depression medication for years and years and years, and people healed of high blood pressure. Well, one day I used to raise horses, quarter horses, and one day I was in my barn, and I don't know if you've ever done this, but I went, and it's where you take a deep breath and you can't quite get a deep breath fast enough, and you're kind of almost like going, and you finally sigh and you get enough air inside of your lungs. And I looked up at God and I said, God, what makes me do that? I said, I don't understand. I said, I even see people doing that. And I know of someone that does it pretty regularly. And the Lord said, it's just fear. And I went, fear. And so I stopped to think about where my thoughts had been just a few minutes before. Because fear and anxiety opens us up to so many, many, many diseases. And it is one of the main diseases of autoimmune. I mean, it is one of the main causes of so many of the autoimmune diseases, like fibromyalgia. Fibromyalgia, the main cause of it is anxiety and stress, which is actually in today's terms for what we would call biblically fear. And so I started thinking about it, and I thought, well, yeah. And I thought about my thoughts that had preceded that, me grasping for air, and my thoughts had been fearful. My husband was still working at that time, and he was a pilot for Delta Airlines, and he had and he flew back and forth to Europe every couple of weeks. And that there was some turmoil going on in the country that he was in at that time. And my thoughts had been on my husband. And I thought, well, wow, God, I need to repent. I need to ask you to forgive me. For I was worried about my husband instead of just praying to you and asking you to protect him. And so right there in my barn, I sat down on a bale of hay and I looked up at God and I said, God, I give my husband to you. I'm not going to sit around here and worry about him and get sick just because I'm worried. I'm not going to open up the door in my life for a disease to come upon me. And I say that door, we have a whole teaching in our conferences that we do that's called Door Points. And it's how the enemy gives us thoughts. And where we become separated from God, from ourselves, and from others. And we go back to the Word of God in Genesis, where God was talking to Cain. And God saw Cain go into a place of envy and jealousy against his brother Abel. And God told him, he said, you better look out, because sin lies at the door. Sin is right there at the door, meaning, hey, you have some envy and jealousy, and if you keep thinking like this, you're going to open up a whole big nest egg of worms, and you're going to go into sin. And that's where we get that word door point. And so it's up to us. Are we going to open that door and think and be driven by the envy and jealousy, what someone else has or what they don't have? And with me, that day in the barn, I had opened up the door for anxious thoughts. I had gone into anxiety, and that would have compromised my immune system, because our immune system is compromised each and every time we get anxious. And as I cast down those thoughts and I gave my husband to God, I got filled with the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that only our Lord and Savior can give us. And I stayed, and the benefit of it was I didn't open up that door for that anxiety, and I did not compromise my immune system, and I didn't get sinusitis, which is what would have happened. And that's kind of how I teach at these conferences, is I want to give back to God's people everything that He has done for me. And we break down diseases. We talk to people about their physical diseases. We talk to them about the way that they are thinking. And in all of that, they start to see the, what, you know, when we learn how to color in the first and second grade and third grade, we did the dot to dot. We outlined number to number to number until we had something right in front of us. And it might have been a chicken or a bird or something, but it's how children learn how to do art and with numbers. And that's how basic I start with at conferences that I teach. I show them the outline, and they start following the numbers. They start seeing how their thoughts have connected together, and it has left them with a disease. I had a 68-year-old man that came to me one day at a conference, and he had had diabetes since he was 18 years old. And he told me, he said, "I don't guess God can heal me of something I've had 50 years. And I said, "Well, I don't know about you, but I don't put God in a box." And he said, "Oh," I said, "you're just limiting God." And I said, "The God I know cannot be limited." I said, he's still creating stars. He's still creating universes. He's still creating planets. I said, "No telling what he's doing out there." I said, "And I think a little old diabetes is a pretty minor thing to God." And he said, "Well, I just don't know." And he said, I said, "Well, I tell you what, I have enough faith for both of us. Let's figure out where were you wounded by your daddy?" And he goes, "I don't know that I ever was wounded by my daddy." I said, "Well, most of the time, diabetes comes from a generational curse of being separated on in some level between you and your father or you and your mother." I said, "Now, if you got it before you were 18 or 20, it could be a generational thing." And he just sat there and he just kind of looked at me and he said, "Oh, my mama hurt me really bad." And I said, "Really?" And I said, "How old were you?" And he said, "When I was 18. He said, "I got the star part in a play in high school. And he said, I was going to be the leading person in the play. And I came home and I was so excited because I had practiced and practiced and practiced. I wanted that leading part. And I came in and I told my mom I got it. And my mom told me I was foolish, and she wasn't going to go to the play." He said she had a lot of other ugly things to say to me. And he said, "But it broke my spirit." And when I knew at that moment, his spirit, that there was something wrong. And I said, "Can you forgive your mom?" And he said, "I don't know." He said, "She didn't come to my play." I said, "So you're in unforgiveness towards your mom for over 50 years.
Golly.
Because she didn't come to your play." I said, "How about us look at this from a different perspective?" And he goes, "Okay." And I said, "Let's look at it as if maybe that was the moment that the devil was setting you up to have diabetes. That your mama's heart wasn't really like that, your mama really loved you, but she was very busy. She had other children to raise. She was busy maybe cooking that day. She said something that kept her from being able to concentrate. I said, maybe you interrupted her thoughts, and she just said something that wasn't very nice. And I said, but once she said it, then she didn't come. I said, maybe your mama didn't understand how important it was to you. Did you ever tell her that you had been practicing for that play? Did you tell her how important it was to you? And he said, no, I didn't think she would have cared. I said, well, maybe you judged your mom harshly, and she didn't even know how important it was to you. I said, we need to get to that place of forgiveness. And I told him, I said, all diseases, I feel like, I said, most people that have done research say 80% of all diseases are caused from being separated from God, yourself, and others. And I said, that's what Dr. Wright said. I said, in my own ministry, I have seen it. I think it's more like 90 or 95%. And I said, you have got, and that's why the name of my ministry is called Heart of Forgiveness, because so much of it is caused from just a small unforgiveness. And in this man, it was 50 years ago. Something small, like mama not coming to his place. And so I told him, I said, can I walk you through forgiving your mother and letting it go? And he said, yes, absolutely. I want to forgive my mom. I said, is she still living? And he said, no, she died when I was in my 20s. So he was never able to feel that separation from his mother. So I walked him through forgiving his mom, and about a month later, he called me up, and he told me that that following weekend, he stopped to take, that his blood sugars were just going all wacky, and he called his doctor, and his doctor lowered his insulin. And then about a week and a half, 2 weeks later, his doctor had to lower his insulin again, and he said he threw it out. He was insulin-free, and he was no longer a diabetic.
Wow.
After 50 years of being a diabetic.
It's incredible.
And all that poor man had to do was forgive something that I'm sure if his mother would have known that he had gone into unforgiveness because of a play, she would have gone. But that's what we call stinking thinking. And that's where the battle for our life is. It's between our ears. This man was healed of a deadly disease of diabetes at the age of 68 and had been on that for 50 years.
It's an incredible story, Julian.
Yes, it is.
Wow. I don't even know what to say after that.
When I first read that book, A More Excellent Way, I was suffering from migraines. And I had never had a bad headache or a migraine in my life. But I started having them after I lost my entire business in a fire. And my doctor told me that it was caused from me smelling all of the chemicals, the plastics, I was a jewelry designer, and he told me and all the things that had burnt. And I told him, I said, well, I just don't understand that. I said, that all my employees that were helping me clean up the mess, none of them were getting migraines. And he told me, he said, well, it's because you have a compromised immune system from the from the polymyalgia. And I'm sitting there and I'm saying, well, at that time, my assistant, she had just gotten a brand new lift. He had had a liver transplant. I said, if anybody had a compromised immune system, you would think it's her and she would be getting migraines. So whatever the doctor said, it just didn't make sense. That I continued having those migraines for 4 more years, even after the business was cleaned up and we were over the fire and all of this stuff, I was still having those migraines. Well, I read this book and A More Excellent Way, and he says that migraines were caused from conflicts within oneself over a conflict. And I looked and I said, well, what is conflict? I don't understand that. Well, I went before God, and I started thinking, what else could have happened during that time when my business burnt down? And I remembered my husband and I had had a pretty big disagreement about 2 or 3 weeks before my business had burnt down. And so I thought, you know, maybe that could be it. And so I went, and I had prayed, and I asked God to reveal it to me, and he showed me that. And so I asked my husband, I said, do you remember, and this is so silly because I even remembered the date. I said, do you remember December 18th, 1998? And he said, no. And I said, we had had a really big fight. And he said, oh, yeah. And I said, it was my fault. And, see, I had kept that record against myself. And he said, oh, yeah. I said, would you forgive me? And my husband said, oh, yeah, I forgave you. I said, good grief, that was silly. And I said, well, okay. And Pastor Wright, in this book, said that all disease, that 80% of disease was caused from unforgiveness. Unforgiveness of yourself, unforgiveness towards God, or unforgiveness towards others. Well, James forgave me, and I asked for forgiveness. So that was the other. Then I asked God. I said, God, would you please forgive me for not being a good wife on December 18th, that time when I was very hard-headed, and I wasn't there for my husband. And I said, your word says that if I ask for forgiveness, I'm forgiven. So I guess I'm forgiven. And my migraine totally stopped for about 3 months. And I was having 2 and 3 a month, and I'd usually go blind with them. And so for 2 months, and our migraine medication, just to add here, the prescription cost us over $400 a month for this migraine medication. And that was after insurance. And so I didn't have a migraine for 2 or 3 months. My husband asked me, he said, my goodness, what's going on? He said, you haven't had a migraine. We haven't gotten that medication in a couple of months. And I said, oh, my goodness, this Dr. Wright could be right. And I said, this is amazing. I said, I'm trying to put into practice holding my thoughts captive and asking for forgiveness. And I said, you forgave me and God forgave me. And I said, and I don't know. And I said, my headache left. Well, it wasn't about a week or two later, I had a humdinger of a migraine. And I went before God. I was totally blind. I could not see. The doctors gave me something in my veins that I don't know what it was, but I remember it made me feel like I had a liquid aluminum foil in my mouth. And several hours later, my husband put me to bed, and the doctor told him, he said, if she's not better in the morning, we're going to have to hospitalize her. And I remember getting out of my bed and feeling my way through my bedroom because I could not see. And I walked outside because that's where I talk to God the best, is when I feel grass under my feet. And I said, God, I don't understand. I didn't have a migraine for 2 months. And I said, and now I'm having one. And you forgave me for not being a good wife and being mean, and James forgave me. I said, why am I having a migraine? And the Lord whispered in my spirit, you still haven't forgiven yourself. And I started crying. I said, I can't forgive myself. I said, I wasn't a good wife that day. And the Lord said, you have to. Because if you can't forgive yourself, you don't need me. I said, well, I don't understand. He said, you want my forgiveness, but you can't forgive yourself. You are in idolatry. And you have replaced me with yourself. Wow, that hit home.
Yeah.
And I said, God, I'll forgive myself, but I just don't know how. I just don't know how. Because everything, I had been a perfectionist all my life. everything had to be perfect. Everything had to be, all my dots had to be dotted. My T's had to be crossed. Nothing, everything, I was driven. I could never find peace up until this point. And I thought my peace would come in my perfectionism, but it never did. And so I sat there in the grass in my pasture, and I said, I don't know how to forgive myself. And God said, just do it. And I remember the first words coming out of my mouth was, Jolene, I forgive you for hating to dust. And Jolene, I forgive you for always burning the last can of chocolate chip cookies. And Jolene, I forgive you for losing your temper. And Jolene, I forgive you for not being perfect. And Jolene, I forgive you for December 18th not being there for James when he needed you. And immediately, I could see. And as I started, I kept on with everything. I couldn't forgive myself. I forgive you for gaining that extra 10 pounds, even though you look better than you ever have and you feel better than you ever have. I forgive you for liking to eat two pieces of pecan pie. I forgive you for this, and I forgive you for that, and I forgive you for this, and I forgive you for that. I forgave myself for everything I could think of. And when God allowed me to see, he gave me not only my vision back, but he put right in front of me, right on the other side of my horse fence, every one of my mares and all their little babies were all looking at me over the horse fence, and that was the first thing I got to see. And I looked up at God, and I went, Katie, bar the door. If this is how healing takes place, then God, I'm on this. And I went inside of the kitchen, and I said, I am hungry. I had not eaten for 5 days because of this migraine. And I went in the kitchen, and I started cooking, and my husband walked in the door, and he had walked out with a woman he had put to bed that was blind and had a migraine that was horrible. And he walks in the door 30, 45 minutes later, and he sees a woman standing in the kitchen, happy, praising God and crying. And I said, Katie, bar the door, James. I said, God has healed me of migraines, and I know one thing, I'll never have another. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, I could not forgive myself. And I said, but boy, I tell you what, I know how to forgive myself now.
Amen.
Amen to that.
Oh, what a story. What an amazing testimony.
And I have never had a migraine, not since 2003, July 2003 was my last migraine that I ever had. I don't even get headaches. I don't, nothing, nothing. But it's all caused from conflict, that conflict within oneself. Mm-hmm. And I had that conflict going on. My husband and I were married, and I had... and we had a good relationship. Everything was good, but I could not let go of my not being a good woman on December 18th. And once I forgave myself, God healed me. But that has shown me so much about idolatry. And we hold ourselves sometimes up to a higher standard than even God does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is where people are faced with that self-hatred and self-rejection. And that is what the second layer of all autoimmune diseases are. The first layer is the anxiety and stress, but that second layer of autoimmune disease is not loving yourself and not taking care of who you are. And we get in our society today, everything is so... at our fingertips. We get everything right now. And when we don't get it right now, we get frustrated. And when we get frustrated, that leads us to not loving ourselves.
Yeah. Jolene, let's talk about that not loving yourself when we get back from this break. And it might tie into, I was going to ask you to come back around if you're willing to. And talking about your back, you told me, when we were talking privately about the back and your, what happened to you in your youth. and the not loving yourself part, I think, might tie in. But I'm sorry we have to break this conversation up. It's incredible. Your testimony is amazing. Where can people follow you? What's your website again?
It's called www.heartofforgiveness.org.
Heartofforgiveness.org, and Jolene's going to be in Lubbock July 20th through 24th. What's the best way to get information on the conference here in Lubbock?
You can go to my website, and you can read testimonies, you can read what we teach, and you can even register and sign up there.
Okay, awesome. Heartofforgiveness.org. Jolene McCord is who we're talking with today, everybody. We will be right back after this break.
We're going to hang on with her.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
All right.
Stay with us. We'll be right back with you, girl.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. We are back with Jolene McCord. Y'all can follow her at her website, heartofforgiveness.org. And Jolene's going to be here July 20th through 24th, putting on a conference here in Lubbock. Go on the website to get more information about that. You can email at info@heartofforgiveness.org. I just want to real quickly say, again, for the intellectual, scientific-minded out there, world-renowned quantum physicist Michio Kaku, he's a co-founder of the string theory. And this was a few years ago, but after conducting a series of tests on what Kaku calls primitive semi-radius tachyons, he came to a remarkable conclusion, quote, "To me, it is clear that we exist in a plan which is governed by rules that were created, shaped by universal intelligence and not by chance." I want to zero in on that. Rules that were created, that, i.e. laws. There are laws God put into the earth, and we understand them in the physical. Law of gravity. Just go work on your roof, and you slip off. The law of gravity kicks in. Everybody understands that. The law of thermodynamics, the law of internal combustion. When you turn your key on, your car is going to start because of that law. There are just things in place in the physical world that cause it to work reliably, and it's the same in the spiritual world. Harvard even came out and said, Jolene, I think you said, in your experience, 90 plus, 95% of these diseases are caused by these things like unforgiveness. And Harvard talked about 98% of all physical ailments, all disease is rooted in the emotional realm, unresolved emotional conflicts. And when you think about these atoms that make up this physical body, carbon, nitrogen, hydrogen, etc., oxygen, it's 98, 99% empty space. Even though I'm sitting in a hard chair right here and I'm leaning on a hard desk, it seems real solid. It's 99% emptiness. Between those electrons that orbit the nucleus, there's empty space in that orbiting area. And that empty space is filled with subatomic quantum physics, energetic forces. Harvard went on to describe, when you have thoughts of bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, the double helix of your DNA actually tightens up, like that coil, that little spring, it tightens up. And when you have thoughts of peace and love and joy, that it loosens back up to kind of a normal shape. It is clear in the literature, if you need scientific literature, and that's so cool. God has allowed us to see a little tiny peek into the window of how our thoughts can influence our physical being. But, Jolene, please, we've got about, I don't know what we have left, 10 minutes.
About an hour.
I could go all day. And I know, Jolene, you were telling me so many testimonials from so many people that come to your conferences, and you've shared some of those here. And like I said, we can go all day. But I wanted to go back to you were talking to me about your back. And how
until process.
And you said something earlier in the interview that when you came back from that conference, Dr. Wright's conference, 12 out of the 14 diseases were gone, and two, you had to learn some more. You had to have a deeper understanding, or you had to do some things.
I had to learn how to hold my thoughts captive.
Yeah, hold your thoughts captive. So could you just maybe share a little more on that?
Yes, and you know, I always go back to the scripture in Revelation 12:11, where it says, "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." And I think it's so important for to share testimony, and because that just encourages. But I broke my back in 8 places in a horse accident. And could not ride a horse. I mean, I couldn't even be in a car that and go over a bumpy road. My back for 4 years would not heal. And the doctors, my physicians kept talking to me about going in and putting glue inside of the bones. And that always just freaked me out. Everyone I knew that had had back surgery always had problems afterwards. And one time I was trying to open up a tube of super glue, and with my I had the lid in my teeth, and the thing exploded in my mouth, and I had super glue all in my mouth. And so just the thought that super glue could maybe explode in my back just didn't sit right with me. And so I just kept not wanting to do that. And as I was reading this book about back issues and bones not healing properly, God created our bodies so perfectly that actually when bones are set back into place, they should grow back together and be stronger, just like a welder. When a man that's a good welder, not like, you know, people like my husband, that, you know, I always call him the mud dauber welder, but a person that is trained in welding, and when they weld two pieces of metal together, they're actually stronger in the weld. And that's how God created our bodies, that whenever bones break, when they mend back together where they're broken, they're supposed to be stronger at that mending. But when bones won't heal, then there's a component called envy and jealousy. Well, as I was reading the book, he kept referring to different things about envy and jealousy. And I thought to myself, you know, I know a lot of people that are envious and jealous. I probably could help them get rid of this, never thinking that I myself may have that spirit or that spiritual dynamic. And at the time in 2003 and 4, you couldn't find things on the internet. So I called out there and I asked them, I said, has he written any more books? Has he gone into any more detail? And they told me, they said, well, we have cassettes. And I said, oh, okay. And so they sent me, mailed me a list of all the different cassettes that he had. And he had one that was 7 cassettes. And it was all about envy and jealousy. And so I listened to those cassettes, and it wasn't until I had listened to the whole set several times that I actually saw myself in those, in what he was teaching. And I went, oh my word, I have envy and jealousy. And I remember I was had just come back from the, I was pulling my horse trailer with my truck. And you've got to remember, my back, I had a broken back, but I was still driving and still carrying the horses. But I had taken my horses up to the 4.6s, my mares, and had them bred up there. And I was in the truck coming home in a lot of pain when I got totally convicted that I had envy and jealousy. I pulled over my horse trailer off the side of the road, and I actually, on the side of the road, got on my knees, and I repented, and I told God, I said, God, I have this. I have jealousy. I have envy. But I had it in a way where I compared myself to other people. I didn't want what somebody actually had. You know, that's what we think is envy. But I compared myself to them. And why didn't I have these things like they had? Or why did I have, why was I always so sick and other people were not? And that comparison is still an envy and jealousy. So I'm sitting there on the side of the road and I am repenting and asking God to forgive me. Well, what Dr. White doesn't mention in his book is deliverance, and that's the removal of a kingdom of thought. And so I came home, and I was doing a lot better, and it wasn't until I went to Georgia, and they taught on Indian jealousy. I'm sitting there, and I'm going, hey, I had it. I'm convinced I had it. I know I had it, but I'm over that. And then they did what they called deliverance, and that was the actual removal of those thoughts and that kingdom. And because of a generational way of thinking, my parents had it, my grandparents had it, my great, I would imagine my great-grandparents had it just from the stories I hear. It was a wrong way of thinking that I was raised in. And how do you get rid of something that you were raised in? How do you get rid of, no matter what you do and how you train your thoughts, you still have that predisposition to go back to it. And so you actually have to have the removal of a kingdom, and that's called deliverance. And so when they did the deliverance, of the which is the removal of that way of thinking, of comparing myself, and of Indian jealousy, my back started going snap, crackle, pop, 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 and people could hear it all over the church. My girlfriend was at the back of the church that had gone with me. She was at least 30 yards from me, and she could hear my back cracking. And when I went to the doctor 2 weeks after I came back, my back was totally healed. Totally.
Man,
that's amazing. And
totally healed. I live, and this is not bragging, believe me, but I lived on Percodan to go to sleep at night, and I lived on Vicodin to get through the day every day.
Wow.
For 4 years. And I kept telling my doctor, I don't want to be addicted. I don't want to be addicted to pain pills.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to tell me, you can't be addicted if you really need it for pain, and you really need it for pain. And so he just kept writing those prescriptions. But I'm going to tell you, the week after I came back from that conference, I came home and I flushed every single pain pill I had in this house down the toilet.
Wow.
Man.
That is unbelievable.
That's pretty stout.
Well, Jolene, what an amazing story. And I feel like...
Thank you.
I mean, the hour's already gone. And
I know.
I feel like we're scratching the surface.
So many people that have back issues. Or have broken bones and they're still having problems.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I look at them is, okay, let's look at your thoughts. Are you jealous? Are you envious? Do you compare yourself to other people?
Mm-hmm.
Are you not content? Because a person that has envy and jealousy is never content.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get rid of that kingdom of envy and jealousy in your life, you are at total contentment and at peace in your life. It says that envy and jealousy is at the root of all strife. That's what the word says. Envy, jealousy, and strife. That they are the root of all evil. And so when we have those thoughts, we are in a place that seals our contentment and our peace.
Yeah. And that's what we're after, is that true peace, true contentment, when the body, the physical body, is in an environment of true peace, it will function like it's supposed to function, I believe.
Yes.
And God's after our heart. I know, obviously, people that are hurting, back pain or diabetes or polymyalgia, rheumatica, or any autoimmune disease, MS, cancer, whatever, I mean, I'm sure they're just, give me the healing.
Yeah,
which I believe God wants to give that, and says in His Word, by His stripes we were healed. But what you're talking about is there's this deeper layer that's a heart issue. When the heart's addressed, when the lies are addressed, the truth is brought to it, and at a quantum level, spiritual level, boom, stuff happens in an amazing way.
Yes.
So, I mean, these things are written It's a law written in the book. This is just how God put things into the earth to operate. So we're out of time. We could go all day. We might have to do a part two, Jolene.
I would love it.
That'd be awesome. So you'll be here July 20th through the 24th, right?
Yes, I sure will.
Okay.
What's it going to be? Is it open to the public, whatever we're talking about, July?
Yeah, it'll be one of these conferences, For Your Life conference, and you can go to heartofforgiveness.org and the email info@heartofforgiveness.org, and you can get more information about that, how to sign up, the registration fees, all that kind of thing.
Where's it going to be held?
Jolene said it's a 200-page workbook we'll go through. You'll get the location, I think, when you email. It's right now scheduled to be at someone's house, which, again, the details will be through the website or email. If there's a bigger turnout than that house can hold, we'll move it to another location.
Okay.
Right, Jolene?
That is totally correct.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you, Jolene McCord, again. And Dr. Wright's book, A More Excellent Way, and he has a second book, Exposing the Spiritual Roots of Disease. Both those, I think, would be available probably just at any bookseller. I have both of them. I can highly recommend them as well. So y'all go out and get that and check out Jolene's website, heartofforgiveness.org. This show will be recorded and put on our archive page at veritasmedical.com. Y'all go check that out. We'll be back next week with another great show. I'm Ben Edwards. You're the Cure.
Thank you, girl. I got to ask you one question before you go.
Me or Jolene?
You. No, I told Jolene. I told her bye.
Okay.
What's your feelings on the big Supreme Justice decision Tuesday?
Hallelujah.
Didn't mean put you. Absolutely. I didn't mean put you on the spot there, but I mean, we've got time. So.
Unbelievable that we can justify murder like that. And, I mean, the father of all lies, the great deceiver, you know, has just put this veil of deception on so many people to justify that. And this thing of, oh, well, to save the mother's life. I don't recall one time in medical school did I ever hear a reason that aborting that baby would save that mother's life. I'm not saying there isn't one out there, but in all my training, I never heard that. That was never discussed, never brought up. There was never. So, if it's that big of an issue, I'm pretty sure I would have heard about it when I was delivering babies back in the day.
You'd think.
God put every one of those babies in the womb.
Absolutely.
That's where life comes from. And it is just a travesty. 70 million babies,
you know,
murdered since that was legalized. So
you see all you see all these signs now if you're protesting. It's my body and all this.
It's
their baby too, and what you ever heard? You ever seen the sign said, "It's my body. I can kill my baby."
Right.
I just don't see
your body, your choice until they mandate a COVID shot, and that your body, your choice goes to the. It's all politics.
If you don't want to be pregnant,
politics.
If you don't want to be pregnant, there's ways not to be pregnant. I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah, be a responsible adult.
And their biggest deal is, well, it's going to be too far for people to travel to get an abortion. Mm-hmm. Boy, if that's the worst problem we've got in this world, we're in good shape. That's just ridiculous.
The fact we can even have a civilized discussion debating whether it's okay to kill a baby.
Yeah.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
And that's right. You're killing the baby. I don't care what you say.
I mean, that spark of light that comes when that sperm and egg come together, it's incredible.
And you've seen that back in the day for sure.
It's that spirit that God put in us when he breathes his life into that womb. It's amazing. So.
Well, anyhow, we could go the rest of the day on that. But anyhow, I'm glad you had a little time because it's been weighing on my mind all weekend. And, you know, we've already seen in Oregon riots and beating people and building businesses, tearing up businesses.
Really curious that they, right before that, they said constitutional carry is protected by the Constitution.
Yeah.
That is your concealed carry. It's called the Constitution.
Constitution, absolutely.
But interesting, that came out, you know, days before. Like they knew the rights were going to
start. Two Supreme Justice courts right back to back.
Well, like Jolene said, despite our circumstances, we can be at peace because the world is going crazy, and the book tells us all about it, but we know who overcomes the world.
Last time I checked, it's still in his hands.
That's it.
So we better put it there.
Amen, brother.
Hey, thank you. It's always good to talk to you. I don't ever get a chance to visit with you, but it's...
Well, appreciate you hosting me today. Thank you all for this radio station that gives a platform for free speech.
Absolutely. And if we normally had the pastor next, you know, you won't find radio stations basically anywhere that you can do this. And thanks to Wade for letting y'all do it.
Well, half my shows, you know, we still do try to put them up on YouTube, but half of them get yanked. We just got slapped again last week, I heard.
Really?
But anyways,
we'll
keep going.
Keep it up.
Thanks, Tim.
God bless you. Thanks. We're back, everybody. Stay with us.